Good morning, friends, and welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as the co-pastors for this community, and we are grateful to gather together. There's a lot of bustle happening here and movement in the sanctuary and beautiful sounds. As people make their way in and find their way here into worship, whether we're gathering in this space or online, we come recognizing that the earth is shaking, trembling, so much happening around us and for so many of us within us. And so we gather in this moment to just pause and to try to hold our lives in conversation with the love of God that greets us and brings us into this moment. And so I invite us just into a spirit of prayer to move together into worship. Loving God, our hearts break open as we look upon the escalation of violence in Lebanon and Gaza, in Israel and throughout the Middle East. As we hold the images from the hurricane in the southeast part of this country, we pray, God, as well for our neighbors just right around us and for our own homes. Indeed, creation cries out to you, God. May our hearts join this chorus. Amen. I'm going to invite us to move together into worship and to just stay seated and to be in a spirit of prayer. Omari and our musicians will help us. This is Creation Song.
It's crying out for God. Every night when stars come out, I hear creation's song, and it seems, oh Lord, and we sing, oh, 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 oh.
God, we come today weary, longing, hopeful, and grieving. But we keep learning the power of showing up together, with and for each other, and we recognize the great gift it is to be community. God, your healing does not return things to how they were, but moves things toward how they are meant to be. Thank you for the ways healing comes through ordinary people, in everyday ways. The flower planters and soul tenders, the music makers and speech givers, the heart holders and art creators, the food growers and poem weavers, the child raisers and story cherishers, the learners and leaders, the witnesses and the wise, those who gather in the park to clean up trash and race ducks together, and the neighbors who neighbor each other, every day, come what may. May this time today remind us that we all belong to each other, no matter what, and we all belong to this earth that you love, and we each have a part to play in the shared story of life. May our city become an epicenter of healing, a wellspring of courage for the nation, and may we leave here today feeling grounded in love and buoyed by joy. Amen.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise God, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beams, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise God, oh, praise God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven long, oh, praise God, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. things their Creator bless, and worship God in humbleness. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Praise, praise Creator and the Son. Praise, praise the Spirit, three in one. Praise Creator and the Son. Praise, praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. You sound beautiful. I invite us to be seated as we continue to move in worship. I'm going to invite Ken Iritani to join me. We are moving in a new worship series, which we're calling Deepest Belonging. We're holding our lives in conversation with the depth of God's love that invites all of us to experience and know the deepest sense of belonging that we so often encounter in and through community. And as we do this over these coming weeks, we're going to take time each time we gather in worship. So at 9:30 this morning, Ken is with us, and then at 11, Debbie Edgar will. And we'll hear from others throughout our community in the weeks ahead about how they experience a deep sense of belonging here at the table, and about how that's inspired them to make a commitment to this community of faith and to express God's love in the world. And so we'll hear unique voices as we journey in this time together. And so I am grateful to introduce those that haven't met.
Good morning. My name is Ken Iritani, and most of you don't know me. And that's not surprising because I've only been attending the table for 5 months. But I have known Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda for about 10 years, and I've known about the table for 10, 12 years also. They and the admin board asked me to talk today partially about why I chose the table. Let me say this, I love the table. I love the music, I love the worship, I love the thought-provoking sermons of Pastor Linda and Pastor Matt. I love the always all welcoming community that we are. I love the fact that we are out in the community with the farmer. I love the energy, the vitality of the people. And I'm proud to call this my church home. But there's always a but after that, right? But the reason that I am here, why I chose this, is because I believe in the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That is the biblical foundation for our Methodist mission statement, which says, go and make disciples of Christ. And that is the biblical foundation for our efforts here at the table to help people to grow in faith. And the wonderful, amazing thing is that this table community is accomplishing that mission. That is, people are growing in faith. I am growing in faith. And I say it's amazing because in my capacity on a number of church conference committees, district committees, even assessing other Methodist churches, in my conversations with friends who go to other churches here in Sacramento, and where I grew up in Bakersfield, friends who go to church there, I have found out, and this is not new news, churches are declining. Churches are getting older, and frankly, churches, many churches, are not being effective in that mission of making disciples and helping people grow. Yes, it is sad, but this community is accomplishing that mission. And these small groups, we know them as kitchen tables here, is, I believe, the key ingredient to growing in faith here in this community and in other communities. And the great thing is that the table has figured out how to make that sustainable from year to year to year, from group to group to group, how to make that sustainable. I know this because I used to attend Centennial Methodist Church. And not once, not twice, but I think it was three or four times, we attempted to create a culture of small groups. We were not able to sustain it. It is very, very hard. I would say one of the harder things about being a church, that mission of making disciples is the hardest thing about being a church. How do you help people grow in faith? I dream, yes, I dream about leveraging this community, the welcoming all means all, the helping people to grow in faith, that energy and vitality being out in the community. I dream about leveraging that to other places. Matt and Linda call that planting seeds in new places. It's my hope that we figure out how to leverage this success here to Yolo County, Davis, and elsewhere. We will reach new people who are hurting, just like you and me, and we'll reach them through the music, we'll reach them through the worship, we'll reach them through the small groups, we'll reach them through the Rise Up Bread when they break bread together. And those new people will think of new expressions of the table community that we don't even can imagine today. But those new people will be ones who help others grow in faith. During this month of October, as Matt said, our table community, all of us are invited to make a deep commitment. Sounds ominous a little, you know, deep commitment. If you have not done so, I really ask you to consider making a deep commitment this year. I see this as just being intentional about my faith, about my Christian journey. What am I trying to do? How am I trying to grow? How am I called to support this community that I'm committed to? And most importantly, at least for me, what priority does my faith and this community have in my life? Let me tell you, for me personally, I'm devoting myself. My wife says I'm a little obsessive. So, she tells you that I'm obsessive. I respect that. myself. That means my time, my talents, my treasure to this community and, most importantly, this future that I hope to see. That means that more important than my golf, more important than my tennis, more important than my other nonprofit work, and yes, more important than my political work, this community is a higher priority. Now, that doesn't mean I'm forsaking my wife, Leslie, and my family. But it is a priority, an intentional priority in my life. The admin board this year is asking us to step up and plant new seeds in new places. In order to develop and sustain the Table Farm and fund some additional support for our overworked pastors and to support music and arts ministry in Yolo County and beyond, and we're also looking to partner with the Methodist Conference to add a third pastor to our ministry team here. But that is going to require us to step up, meaning increase our commitment in 2025 to the tune of the preliminary budget estimate is about $125,000 additional per year. Now, you think that is a lot of money. Yes, it is. In the life cycle of a church, from starting up to growth, to plateau, to decline, to close, this Table community is in that growth phase. And this is the time to do it. If we are ever going to strive for that reaching new people and planting seeds in new places and leveraging the success, no, sharing the success of what has worked here with others. Isn't that why we're here? We're here to share with each other and the people that are walking down the street the success of this community. If we're to do that, this is the time to step up. This next slide shows that we can do it. The Table community has been generous over the years, increasing in generosity in its giving. And that last year of 2023, we don't have 2024 on the chart yet, but will require us to take another step up in 2025. I joined the Table community because I want to be part of the church that helps build the church for the next generation. After I'm gone, after some of you are gone, the next generation of people that will be here, that they themselves will think of new ways to reach more people. I want to be part of that. The Table is uniquely positioned in its welcoming all means all, and its vitality, its people, and the energy to do this. So here's my question for you. What is your vision for this Table community for the future? What is your priority for your faith and for this community in your life? Will you join me in making a deep commitment this year and in stepping up your support in making this big difference? Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. We are grateful to hear from you, and we're going to keep moving in worship. I'm going to invite us to stand as you're willing and able in body or in spirit. This is I Am a Pilgrim.
Thank you.
traveling through this wearisome land. I got a home in that yonder city, Lord, and it's not made by hand. I got a mother, sister, and a father. Them gone on now to that other shore, and I'm determined just to bathe my weary soul. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, then I know you'll make me whole.
Good morning. My name is Bob Martinez, and I can hear myself. Ooh, okay. I want to welcome all of you, whether in person or online. And I know little Henry was just amazed by your voice, Omari. You know, he was just, wow, as we all are. You know what? I really appreciate Ken Oritani's presentation from his soul, from his heart, to remind us all that, you know, we all individually have something to give to this community, and I appreciate that he gave us a perspective on just how important this community is to each of us in our own special ways. So, and the fact that Z is out there selling his bread that he brought early this morning all the way from San Francisco, what a community we're in. So very, very grateful this morning. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries as our musicians help us with a little walking music. I'll remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are unfortunately experiencing homelessness. We also have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall throughout worship at both 9:30 and 11, and godly play takes place at right now, 9:30. upstairs, designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Wow, I like the way you ended just as I'm impressed. Our reading this morning comes from the eighth psalm, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Updated Version. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are so mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and with honor. You have given them dominion over their works of your, over the works of your hands. All sheep and oxen, all the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fishes of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Thank you, Bob. And as our musicians move down, I'll invite us into a spirit of prayer. Loving God, may your spirit stir within our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our souls. Align this time, the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, into the good news that you would have for us and for the world this very day. We offer this time in your creative ways and many names. Amen. Pastor Linda and I have both found inspiration and hope in these last few months in the writings of a pastor named Kara Root. And Kara writes this: "The times in our lives of suffering and loss, wondering where God is and what could possibly be the meaning of all this, are often referred to as wilderness experiences. And undeniably, there are lots of ways to explore the wilderness as the place of loss. But I'm fascinated by the wilderness as a liminal place, by its function as a threshold, an in-between spot where both tearing down and building up occur. And I'm struck by how often God's movement of us from captivity to freedom, God's invitation to repentance, God's work of salvation, in whatever ways and for whatever reasons, involves spending time in the wilderness with the questions liminality floods us with. Who is God? Who am I? Who are we?" We hope this four-week worship series will invite us more deeply into these existential questions. Who is God? Who am I? Who are we? We're calling this series Deepest Belonging, and it's loosely inspired by the writings of Kara Root, in which she shares reflections on her own experience as a Presbyterian pastor of a small little church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Kara opens one of her chapters with these words from St. Francis of Assisi. Francis says, "It was easy to love God in all that was beautiful. The lesson of deeper knowledge, though, instructed me to embrace God in all things." And this feels like the challenge, at least perhaps for some of us, for anyone feeling a sense of helplessness as you look on at violence escalating in the Middle East. For anyone who feels a sense of despair as you look on at the images of people recovering in the aftermath of yet another hurricane. Or anyone struggling to just try to hold it together as you try to figure out how to make it through with a loved one that you care for, as anyone who tries to make it through all of the challenges that life seems to be throwing at least so many in our community right now. Thankfully, deep traditions from our Christian faith And I want to acknowledge that often Christianity gets packaged in a way with a bullhorn and with colonial intentions that aren't deep traditions. But that's the case with really any history. There are always multiple histories that we can draw upon. The deep history of our Christian faith, like the tradition that's expressed in the reading that Bob shared for us in Psalm 8, or like the writings of Francis of Assisi, remind us that our deepest sense of belonging is found within and through God and experienced through shared life together in community. 14 years ago, this very month, we began to plant the table as a new church, right alongside a historic church called Central United Methodist. It was a wilderness time. It was a liminal space. Actually, for about 3 or 4 years, if you were driving east, it would say the table, and if you were driving or walking west along H, it would say Central. That's as liminal as it gets. We did not even know what our name was during those years. That historic church was at a threshold. Leaders were weary, and they were carrying an enormous weight of responsibility as numbers had declined and trying to find how was God having something big in store for this little community. It was a time both of tearing down and building up. The number 7 in our Jewish and Christian tradition holds deep significance. It symbolizes completion or perfection. Just think of the 7 days of creation. The number 7 holds meaning. 7 years ago, this month, we paused and we entered a new kind of wilderness. At that moment, about 7 years ago, our sanctuary was reaching capacity on Sunday mornings, and we could have stayed the course, but instead, we leaned into a sense that God was doing something in our midst, and we made a shift from one worship gathering at 10 o'clock to 2 worship services, one at 9:30 and one at 11. It meant tearing down some ways that we had known to be church. And it meant building up some new ways of what it means to be church. But our hope was to extend God's invitation to the table to an ever wider group, to celebrate the sense that we had experienced in coming to the table and finding a deep sense of belonging by embracing this wilderness and moving into what does it mean to be a community that worships at 2 different times. And it might not sound that difficult looking back on that. Things don't usually seem that hard when you're looking at them in the past. But letting go of what we'd known, that was risky. It was challenging. Trusting that God would meet us in this longing as we simultaneously let go 14 years ago, stepped into a new way, and then again 7 years ago and stepped into a new way of being. Trusting in God to show up, trusting in each other. And this month we gather having completed yet another 7-year cycle. 14 years into the life of this little community. And it's another opportunity we want to invite you into to pause and to wonder about where the Spirit might be at work in this moment, among us, within you, around us, even in spite of us, I'd suggest. To wonder anew. To invite our soul-searching questions like, who's God? Who am I? Who are we? To do something that is profoundly counter-cultural in our context and time. And that is to make a commitment to something. To make a deep commitment to God and to one another. To remember that our deepest belonging is found in God and experienced through sharing life together with others. And that kind of commitment runs counter to how a lot of our world moves in this moment. And so I recognize that this worship series might be one of the harder for a lot of people among us, because thinking about our commitment is tough to do. But I don't know about you, But I have found myself surprised over and over and over by all of the unexpected ways God keeps showing up in these liminal moments like the one we're in right now here at the table. This Thursday evening, Andy will gather with folks out at Table Farm for a celebration and a final blessing of the land before we move the farm. Here's a brief invitation from Andy. I invite you to listen.
Hi everyone, it's Andy. I wanted to invite all of you out to the farm this upcoming Thursday, October 10th, for a little fall celebration. We're gonna have some cider, we're gonna have some live music, and we're also gonna have some super cute little pumpkins that we actually grew out here this season that are gonna be for sale. So anyway, we would love to have you come join us. This will just be an opportunity to say goodbye to this little plot of land. We will officially be moving at the end of this month. If you would like to bring a little fall-themed dessert, or if you would like to help volunteer for the actual event itself, you can visit thetable.farm. Also, I will be here at the end of each service. And so if you have any questions, you can just come up and find me. And yeah, I would love to just see everyone out here. Bye, everyone.
A church and school that so generously invited us to grow food alongside neighbors on that little quarter acre of land. And we started doing this just the month into global pandemic. And as the world shut down, we started to gather outside and to figure out how to be the church by putting our hands in the soil and growing food alongside neighbors and then giving that food away. It was a liminal moment for sure as we moved into shutting down and isolating ourselves in our homes. And then we met outside with masks on to grow food and to give it away, when it was so clear how the haves and have-nots and the divide in our culture was deeper maybe than some of us had ever recognized. It was a liminal time. It was a liminal time. And out of that, God did something wild, brought us into a farm to learn how to be the church by growing food alongside neighbors. And I want to acknowledge that it's sad to say goodbye to that little piece of land. It's really sad. There's tearing down, and they'll be building up. And the experience of losing access to this land also opened up an opportunity to partner with Southgate Recreation and Park and Daler High School and new neighbors who will soon be meeting. Actually, we've already started to meet down at Florin Creek Park, where we will now begin again. Turning a now half acre piece of land that's mostly dormant, it's actually used really as a parking lot. Let's be honest. And we are going to see what God can do with this little plot, half acre. We're imagining that soon, together with the Spirit, this is going to become a vibrant little farm which will feed and nurture more and more people. Look at God. Look at God. The connection that we've been developing out in Davis and Woodland over these last 2 years led us to meet a master gardener whose name is Ann. And Ann and John are now part of our community here at the table. Ann and John live out in Davis. And Ann is one who co-conspires, really, in everything Ann does. She's co-conspiring. She's co-conspiring with what I'll call prophetic misfits out in Davis. Prophetic misfits that are growing food just like we are in South Sac. They're doing it out in Davis, and they're giving that food away. They've turned the back of Davis United Methodist Church into Grace Garden. And on that little space, Ann and others are gathering to grow food and to give it away. Ann led a session with our teenagers. We supported this summer high school students for a fellowship and apprenticeship so they could learn about spiritual formation and regenerative agriculture and justice and connection and all of these different ways. And Ann was one of the people that they learned from. And next Sunday, Ann's going to host an open house out there. Look at God. Look at God. And I've joked with you all a number of times about how ominous it feels to move a farm. It still feels ominous to move a farm. But we're going to figure out how to do it. On October 26th, we're going to find a way to move a farm. We actually need some trucks. We're going to need some trailers. We're going to need folks with strong backs. And folks without strong backs who are willing to encourage and maybe give some water to those with strong backs, because we're going to find a way to move that little farm. Andy and I are going to meet with Ram. Ram is the farm lead at New Roots Farm. It's a little farm in West Sacramento, and some of you have maybe been there, and if you haven't been there, I hope you'll take time to find it. It helps refugees reestablish their ties to the land, celebrating their heritage, and nourishing themselves and their neighbors by planting strong roots in the community. And next Saturday, Andy and I are going to go down to Ram and to learn a little bit about Ram and how he's leveraging alongside the wider refugee community there, new technologies on their farm, and how we might bring that to the new space that we're going to be growing food on, using less water to grow more food to feed more neighbors. Look at God. But first, instead of just being out there, first, we're going to have a concert here in the sanctuary. A couple months back, Omari said, I've got this crazy idea. Omari often says things like this. And usually it means you should say yes. That's usually the response that is invited in this. Omari invited us to wonder about an artist and they're presenting a piece. I want to call it music, but it's more than that. And I'll let them share in their own words. This is called Elder Flora. Elder Flora is the story of the life of a tree. And if you're not wondering, you really can't make this stuff up. How do we experience the deepest belonging if we don't pause to reflect like Psalm 8 does on our kin, our kindred, creation, the way we're all connected to each other and to the earth around us? This is a short piece from Michelle Connery about the concert that'll happen here very soon. Let's watch.
Hello, Sacramento, and hello, good folks of the table. I am so excited to be playing for you very, very soon and meeting all of you. In case you are curious to know who I am, what I look like, here I am. I am right now in Portland, where I'm getting ready to play a show at Elliott Chapel at Reed College, and I am slowly working my way down the West Coast toward the City of Trees on 1011. I write music that merges the human and natural worlds, and I do that by giving the things in nature a voice to allow them to tell their stories to us. But in the process, I also humanize them. I give them voices that sound a lot like our voices. The things that I write about have close relationships with their mothers, like me. And they're daring and take risks and fail also, like all of us. They're very relatable. And I write in this way that familiarizes the natural world because I think in this moment where we have an uncertain future for our planet, one of the most important things that we can do is to become familiar with nature, to find human elements in the plants and the things around us in order to feel closer to them. And this isn't something I made up. This is a very, very old form of wisdom. Native Americans have always treated the world around them as extensions of themselves, as a kind of family. So in my cycle, Elder Flora, meaning old trees, I will be performing this kind of transformation of the world around us into something that feels both deeply familiar and totally supernatural. And I'm very excited to take you on this journey with me. I will see you all very soon. Bye-bye.
A musician who's gonna share through music and visuals the life of a tree. Look at God. A few years ago, our administrative board made a decision about our Christmas offering. They decided that they were going to take our entire Christmas offering and support what's called a Jesuit volunteer. Jesuit volunteers live together in intentional community. They come alongside each other to work for social justice in the world. And our offering was going to go to support a Jesuit volunteer who is working out at Folsom Prison with folks who are incarcerated at one of our highest security prisons here in the area. And our music team, it's not just Elder Flora that'll happen here. Solabel, the name, the band that our music team has created, is going to share a concert here on October 26th. And part of the proceeds of this will allow them to leverage, as Ken was naming before, or to share, as Ken invited us into, this music, not just here in our community, but with incarcerated folks as they go in to share the music that we experience here with incarcerated people at Folsom Prison. Look at God. On Thursday, I got to sit down with our new bishop and our new district superintendent. I'm seeing a retired district superintendent as I'm saying this in the space. And we got to talk about collaboration, the collaboration that we've been engaging with folks at Davis United Methodist Church these last 2 years, this new expression of the table we've been imagining out in Yolo County. You talk about a wilderness tearing down and building up. These last 2 years of trying to figure out how you get the big behemoth known as a bureaucracy of the United Methodist Church to come alongside as you try to listen deeply to God, this is hard. It is hard. There is no other way to say it. But we were invited into a time of exploring possibilities, of imagining in this wilderness what could it be like that we might help this community move out across the causeway in this new way. You know, we went from one worship service to two, and we're wondering now, like, what could it look like to imagine we've gone from being a single church to being a church that's here and online, and being a church that's here and online and farming? What could it be like to be a church that has multiple sites? It has a space here in Sacramento and one across the causeway, down in South Sacramento at a farm, and wherever you are on your phone. And after months of being told that we needed to halt this possibility, we've now been given at least an invitation to keep going and explore what this really looks like. And it is risk-taking. And like Michelle said, we might fail. But you know what? This might all fail if we don't take risks too. So instead of closing all of this down, our bishop and district superintendent have shared an openness to leaning into the liminal space with us and wondering, like, look at God, what might be happening in this moment? Or Chef Z and Rise Up started to collaborate with us. They started a number of months back, and Debbie and Bob and others have been persisting behind the scenes with all kinds of details, with all kinds of different clearances from the city to make these things happen. And you talk about sharing food with neighbors. This is a beautiful image. What does it mean for a church that was born on the wrong side of this country's history back in 1850, to welcome a black-owned baker to co-conspire together with that baker to reach new people in new places? And some will look and say, I don't know, bakery doesn't sound like church to me. But feeding people? Breaking down racialized barriers? Breaking bread? Friends, look at God. And that's the heart of how the psalm opens that Bob shared with us. Oh Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's their way a long time ago of saying, look at God. And Psalm 8 builds over these three verses. It starts by acknowledging and seeing the vastness, the grandeur of God. And it says, look at the breadth and the diversity of God's creation. It invites us to sing, as our musicians did, all creatures. And then the center of the psalm goes into this soul-searching question. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've established, what is a human being that you would remember him? What is a mortal that you would care for her? The surprising poetic response in Psalm 8, humans are given meaningful vocations, a sense of call to creation, to care for creation in the ways that God cares. It says, humans are given dominion over the works of their hands. Ugh. Dominion. There the church is going to go again. Misreading. Missing out. Now the psalmist invites us to hear today to stop and to pause and to reflect on some of the ways that this image of God's dominion, of giving dominion over, has become violent and violating in the ways we've actually lived this out. And we have to acknowledge the truth of how wrong we've been. But the beauty, or at least part of the beauty in this for me, is that Psalm 8 never imagined dominion looking like how the church has warped it into. Dominion in its biblical context was much deeper and more beautiful. And a biblical scholar, Ellen Davis, can help us unpack this. She says, the notion that God intends humans to have dominion over other living things rightly makes many readers of the Hebrew Bible uncomfortable, knowing as we do the abuses that notion has seemed to lead in the modern period. Although Genesis does not specify what exactly the exercise of skilled mastery entails. So this word that we call dominion, it actually translates more clearly as skilled mastery. It offers an important clue in the immediate following chapters. The chapter is otherwise terse, but it goes into surprising detail as God describes the ample food available for every living being. That's what it means to have dominion over, to have skilled mastery, is that you're ensuring that there's ample food for every living being. There are grains and fruits for humans, herbage for non-human creatures, vegan food chains in a world where no blood has yet been shed, she says. My daughter would be very happy about that line. We can infer that the human role is to live in such a way as to honor this divinely ordained, secure food supply. And this is a sobering view of human dominion in an age of habitat destruction and extinction, when countless species are dying off precisely because human activity has disrupted their food chains. So the psalm builds up, calling us to look at God all around us. And then in this liminal moment in the middle of the psalm, on which the entire psalm turns, it stops us in our tracks and it asks us to look at ourselves and to look at creation all around us. How might our humanity in this moment call us, even embolden us, to shape life together in ways that ensure ample food for every living being? And friends, it is my hope that that's what we're about at the table, ensuring ample food, spiritual and physical, for everyone. And I want to acknowledge that we've spent these last few years coming out of pandemic trying to listen so deeply to where God is moving in the world in hope that we could join with God in those spaces, this tiny little plot in South Sac, imagining across the causeway. We've been planting seeds in so many amazing ways, saying, look at God. And as we pause at this seven-year moment, our treasurer says, sometimes you get out a little bit over your skis. Uh-oh. And we want to invite you to consider some big soul-searching questions. We want you to know that our church giving, our church community has grown each year for 14 years in a row. Look at God. That's remarkable. And our ministries are growing faster, to be honest, than we can keep up with. So we need people who have never made a deep commitment to take a moment and wonder about what that could look like in your life. We need folks like my family who've made a deep commitment over and over for all these years to wonder about not what did we do last year and how do we do that again, but what could it mean to actually lean into this liminal moment right now? How does generosity look more deep in my life right now? And that's a scary question for a lot of us. A lot of us will turn away from it. And responding boldly will help us to plant the seeds to do just this. And I'm going to close with this image. Y'all are like, thank God, because this has been going on for a while. That's all right. Rula's with me. This is an aspen tree. I know some of you are familiar. We have aspen around us here. Sometimes it's called trembling aspen because of how the tree trembles in the world. Sometimes quaking aspen because of how the body of the tree shakes, shudders, moans. I'm told locals call this aspen quakies, these aspen quakies. Over 40,000 aspen trunks like these are spread across something called Pando, which is located in Fish Lake National Forest in central Utah. It looks like seeds were scattered to plant 40,000 different trees. At least that's what it looks like to me, but nope. Pando spans across over 106 acres, and it is a single tree interconnected by a massive root system. Look at God. Aspen ecologist Paul Rogers suggests that this 9,000-year-old root spans 12,000 miles if it was laid out. All the roots were laid out across the earth, 12,000 miles. Look at God. It's constantly changing shape and form and moving Any place a branch comes up, a new hub then sends out a tree in a new direction. And if you visit the trees and see new stems, you're witnessing the tree moving or spreading out in all these directions. And Pando's roots build up and fan out. Sometimes one outlying part of the tree gets isolated from the rest. That happens sometimes to us too. And despite this, this section is still part of Pando. It's still part of Pando. What's more is it's possible that the newly isolated part of Pando becomes the basis for a new structure of an even larger tree. Look at God. Friends, I wonder if we, like Pando, might be called to tend to a single root that sustains our life together, to root our lives in grace, to make deep commitments, which ensure we have an administrative capacity and an infrastructure, the roots, to live into the future that God is boldly calling us to. I invite you to join us. Look at God. Amen. All right, Krista and Ben, stay with me. We're going to figure this out, and we're going to make a little shift. I'm going to invite us to come to the table by standing in body or spirit. And Sarneet, who is discerning his sense of call, one of five people in our community doing just that, is going to help me this morning with communion. I invite you to stand in body or spirit, and we'll share in this prayer of confession and time of pardon.
God, hear with us now. You know us completely, and you love us completely.
But it's hard to trust this. So we try to be more lovable, impressive, or put together. We push you away or ignore you because we think we can keep our scariest or saddest parts hidden. We struggle to love ourselves, and we put on a mask for others.
But we cannot hide from you. God, here with us now. We all belong to you, and we all belong to each other. This can't be earned or lost.
But it's hard to trust this, so we judge and sort and label and dismiss. We turn our backs on some people, and we cozy up to others. We try to withhold belonging or make people earn it, buy it, or prove it.
But we cannot run from your presence. God, here we are. Here we are with you. Amen. Friends, we are each born beloved, child of God. And we each died beloved, child of God, still, always. And in between, we journey together, connected, inextricably. Our humanity as it core in this, and we belong to God. And we judge, and we belong to each other. This is our primary identity, our ongoing purpose, and our ultimate destination. Thanks to be God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friends, I invite you to join with me. I'm going to move us. And the way we're going to try to do this is we're going to pause to bless the elements, and we're going to trust each other as we move into communion that we'll find our way. So loving God, pour out your spirit on each of us gathered in this moment and those scattered in many places. Pour your spirit upon this bread and upon this cup. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them your body alive in the world. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Friends, here at the table, all are welcome to this table. Indeed, this is God's table, not ours. And we invite each of you, as you feel led, to trust when God calls you to this space that there is a place for you. Here in the sanctuary, we'll have two stations in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back. For those online, we invite you to gather whatever you might use for communion in this moment. On the plate is bread that has been baked for us and crackers that are gluten-free, and there is juice always in the cup. Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of God's forgiveness and healing poured out for the whole world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Sarni, this is the bread of life broken for you, and God's love poured out for you.
Pastor Matt, this is the bread of life broken for you.
And I invite you to move together to this time of communion. We're going to just stay really soft. You can just keep that going, just soft for a while. And we're going to move right into these stations. So there'll be communion offering here in the front and then also in the back of the sanctuary. And we invite you to, as you feel moved, there are places to pray all around the sanctuary. Encourage those praying with candles to stay for the time that you need in this spirit of prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to break bread and to share from a cup, this opportunity to experience the deepest sense of belonging within and through your love as we gather in community. We offer this time in the name of Jesus Christ, in whom we place our hope. Amen, amen, amen.
In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we also respond to God's love by giving generously and in support of our ministries here at the table. Your generosity helps our community of faith to align ever more deeply with God's fierce love for the world. Thank you for practicing your faith by giving generously. We hope you will take time to reflect today on deep commitment for the year ahead and share those on our website when you are ready. Rise Up Bread is outside, and it's available for you to purchase. We hope to see you at Table Farm this Thursday here in the Sanctuary for a concert later this month. We'll celebrate baptism on October 27th. If you'd like to talk with our pastors about baptism, for you or your family member, please reach out on our website today.
And I'm going to invite us to stand in body or spirit. Our musicians are going to send us out with a new Mavis Staples song. This is So Good Seeds.
So good seeds, everybody. So good seeds, everybody. On the mountain, down the valley, you're gonna reap just what you sow. So by walking, so by talking, so by everything you do, don't mind no one. Keep on sowing, you're gonna reap just what you sow. Sow good seeds, everybody. Sow good seeds, everybody. On the mountain, down the valley, you're gonna reap just what you sow. Hark the voice of Jesus calling. Who will come and wake the dead? Tombs of mercy, harvest waiting. Here I am, oh Lord, send me.
Friends, you are a beloved child of God. No matter what mixed up messages you receive from the world or from the voices within, you are a beloved child of God. Go this moment sowing good seeds. Amen.
Just what you sow.